The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
Hey, it's Jamie Moore here. You're very welcome to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. Very happy to welcome two young Irish footballers to the studio, both who have experience of playing in the UK and also now both back in Dublin for the moment. Sean Brennan of Longford Town on loan from Southampton, and Dan McKenna back at Chelsea full time, having played for Wolves. Telford, you've both played for our beloved Belvedere as well. Welcome to the studio, boys.
Cheers. Thank you.
Right. Cheers.
So Dan came back to Ireland full time this January. He was a regular in the Chelsea team in recent weeks. They're chasing promotion from the First Division. Born in 99, so he's 19 and played for Ireland from under 15 to under 19. Sean also played for Belvo. He joined Southampton at the age of 16 in July 2017, so he's back on loan with Longford in Division 1 since the beginning of this year, but we'll go back to Southampton this July for pre-season with 2 years left on his contract. Born in 2001, so still 17, only a baby, and he's also played for Ireland at 15, 16s and 17s, and both of the lads would have been very well known and very high profile players in their schoolboy careers before they made the moves to England and now doing their stuff back here in the league. And in recent weeks, lads, we've spoken to a number of lads who've either been in England and are now back in Ireland, or who've been in Ireland and are now in England, just about their stories, playing in England, their life over there, coming home, playing here, education and trying to get their careers going in senior football, whether that be here or, you know, further afield. So, Dan, I briefly outlined your story. Just bring us to when you signed for Wolves in July 15 to now when you're 19 and you're back full-time in Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose I was travelling around to the UK since I was 13, 14 years of age, and it wasn't until 2015 that I had signed for Wolves, like, after being with a few clubs, and I had some great years over there, just wasn't to be. So I was back last year on loan with Bray. That served me well, like, the time there. We didn't do as well in the league as what we would have liked, but the experience was very good, and to come back now this year and be full-time with Shells is good, and I think being on loan last year has certainly benefited, like, and I wasn't, you know, coming in not knowing what the league was going to be like, so I think just being able to come back last year on loan has helped me, even though we didn't do so well, but just to come back in this year has been really good.
How have you found your time at Chelsea so far? It took a while to get a starting place in the team, but you've been in recent weeks and results have really improved.
Yeah, you know, we were, I suppose, before the season, people had us to be favourites to go up, so the squad was very good and the competition is fierce, like, so it was difficult to get in at the start, but I suppose we didn't get off to the best of starts that we would have liked to, and the last few weeks I've come into the team and I've been doing okay, like, so results have been going our way, I suppose. The last few weeks we've been getting the bit of luck that we weren't getting at the start of the season, so it's good just to get in now and be playing, you know, full time, rather than, you know, say coming off the bench or not getting minutes. So
when you decided you were coming home at the end of your contract at Wolves, what kind of thoughts were in your head in terms of trying to find a club here, and why did you pick Shelburne?
A very big club. Shelburne, it's local to me as well, so I knew a couple of lads going in, and I had spoke to Ian before I came back, and he had said what he wanted from me, and he had said what he expected from all the lads and what he wanted from Shelburne as a club, and he told me about the visions they had, the plans they had, so it all sounded good, and it was great just to be able to come back to a professional club. Like, the lads there are very good. There's a good mix of youth and experience in there, so it's been very good.
Sean, for you, what's your story from when you were a really good schoolboy footballer with, you know, a load of clubs wanting you, eventually signing for Southampton in the middle of a contract there, now back on loan, but we're heading back off in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, obviously, I went on trial to a few clubs when I was a kid, and I was hopping around seeing which club I should go to, and I thought, you know, Southampton would be the right club for me, because obviously the pathway there, the way they bring through young players all the time, year by year, and I think it's a good place to develop. So obviously I went there at the start of my scholarship as a under 17, and it's been great, you know, like, I've learned a lot from the coaches over there, very experienced coaches, and I've had a really good time during my scholarship. And obviously, you know, in January I decided to go on loan, because it's something that I've always wanted to do, you know, so I went on loan in February, and it's been really good. I've worked with really good staff, Neil Fenn and Darragh Doyle, and there's a lot of experienced players there to help me through. So I think it'll just benefit me for the future going back in July.
Yeah, it's something that we hear all the time about young players in England, is that the under 18 league and the under 23 leagues are not, you know, as competitive as they need to be for your development. Was that one of the main reasons why you decided alone where you were going to play senior football?
Yeah, I think obviously 18s is very different to senior football. You know, the physicality, you're playing with men, you're playing with people double the age of you sometimes. So obviously it's going to benefit me getting experience really early on. And I think, it's something that I've always wanted to do. And, you know, a club like Longford, they try and get it down and play, and it would suit me. So that's why I chose to go there alone.
There's a stat that will make some League of Ireland players feel very old. Sean is 17, and some League of Ireland players are actually twice your age, which makes them feel old, or you feel young, or I'm not really sure. But that's actually something that, you know, I knew you were a lot younger than it, but to think that you could be playing someone 34 who's been playing professional football longer than you've been alive is an experience that I'm sure you're learning from every week.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's some boys in there that have had a really good career. They've been away, they've came back, you know, they're obviously full of experience, and I can just learn off that because I'm coming in, I can learn off anybody, you know what I mean? And I think it's very good to know what the league's like. You know, there's some very good players that I play against and play with, so all I can do is just keep my head down and listen and learn.
Yeah, now I was expecting to be talking to you as a Longford player at the top of the First Division this week, but Saturday night, a 1-0 defeat to Cabinteely, who are top, and they've been doing really, really well and surprised a lot of people, including me. We had Rob Manley in the studio a few weeks ago, and I think he's a top scorer in the league, and although he hasn't scored in recent weeks, but that was a result, a game between the top two that proved not to be so good for you guys.
Yeah, it wasn't obviously we were at home, we wanted to go in winning the game, we were on full of confidence, we were unbeaten, but you know, the way it went, it was a tough game, it was very scrappy, and they came away and they had a bit of quality to take the goal the way they did it, and they came with the 3 points and went top of the league. But still, it's only early days, like Shells are coming back into it. You know, they're on their toes as well, so it's early days. All we have to do is just get our head down and, you know, perform on Friday against Galway.
Yeah, Dan, on the First Division as well, for you, Shells, you mentioned at the start, everybody's favourites to win the league. Hasn't been that way so far. It's very competitive. A 2-1 win over Athlone at the weekend, and like, Cabo were top on 26, Longford on 24, you guys on 22, Drogheda just behind you on 20, Limerick and Bray not too far away either. It's so competitive.
Yeah, I spoke to some of the lads and they said, you know, this year more than ever, the standard has improved, and you can see the quality in the league is a lot more better. Obviously, when I was back at Bray last year, I would have kept my eye in the league and see how things would have went. But this year, like, you just can't tell how it was going to go. Like, with UCD, I suppose, running away with it last year, Limerick a few years ago as well. But this year, it's going to be difficult. I think I might go down to the last few weeks, you know. Cabinteely, I surprised, you know, to be up there. Ourselves, Longford, Drogheda still up there, and you know, it's a tough league, more so than what it was last year, and I suppose the experience for Sean and myself, it can only benefit us, you know, being so young and getting the chance to play in the league.
Yeah, good story on Talca Park, the home of Shells. The Italy under-17s played there in the Euro quarterfinals against Portugal during the week, and the head coach and the players were demanding sprinklers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there aren't any. So
the pitch was looking well for our game against Athlone, and we had the scoreboard up. But I think as soon as the Euros is over, that'll be gone.
Yeah, of course. With that being knocked down in a few years, and the revamp of the Daily Mail, you can probably understand why they're not going to spend too much money in the interim period. Last week on the show, we spoke to two older footballers, Mark Quigley and Stephen Marr, both now playing for Sheriff, both played in the league for years and years, and we had a really good discussion about street football and them being kids playing football growing up. And Mark grew up in town, same as you, Dan, and was telling us about, you know, games with the flats, and you know, he would have been doing them probably 15 years or more before you were. But when you were a kid, that was a major part of being a young person in town as a footballer, was those street games. Tell me more about that.
I was only in my school there yesterday talking about it. We had a chat with some of the students that go there now, and it's just nowadays it's different. You don't see it as much. Young lads are out playing football, probably more playing their games or whatever they do. But our flats now, we don't even have concrete anymore. We have an astro pitch, so like, we would have loved that when we were playing. But it's just different to see not as many kids out, and like you look at players like Wes Houlihan and other players like that who, you know, I suppose have come from playing street football and stuff, and you can see the quality that they have and stuff. So it's just sad to see not as many kids out playing football now, yeah.
Sean, what's your own memories of being a kid growing up in Dublin and apart from playing football with your club, just playing football whenever you could?
Yeah, obviously, like, when school was finished, I would have just went out and just kicked the ball about. If I didn't have training and stuff, you know, I would have been out all the time just playing football. As Dono said, like, it's something that I think kids should still be doing now if they, you know, that's where you get your technical ability from. You know what I mean? Playing out, just practicing all the time, and I think it's very important. I think it was very important for me growing up, and it's kind of like it's a part of my game now, so I think, yeah, it was really important, you know, always being out, always kicking the ball, always trying new stuff.
And you'd be known as a player who likes to have the ball at your feet and play. Was that learned, you know, when you were a younger kid, when I suppose there was no pressure on you and you were just literally able to play and learn your skills and play in the garden and play on the road and in school and in the mini leagues and wherever else you happen to play?
Yeah, I think that's a... It's obviously, as I said, it's a big part of my game, and I think it was important for when I was younger to be able to express myself, to be able to do things that probably you get away with when you're younger, you know, like just dribbling all the time, just getting at players, you know, making nice passes, nice sliding passes into the striker's feet or into the wingers, you know. I think that's something that I want to do now, so it's obviously benefited me. And but you just have to be clever about it, you know. You can't do it all the time, but when you do get that chance, because I'm kind of playing as an attacking midfielder now, when I do get that chance to turn in a game, you know, to be able to create and be able to make stuff happen for the team.
Yeah, because I was at your game against Bray Wanderers a few weeks ago and you did really well in the game, but there were a couple of occasions where you went for a dribble or you went to take someone on and you lost the ball, and I noticed Neil Fenn, your manager on the sideline, wasn't having a go at you because he knows that's your game, and other occasions in the match your little bit of skill worked and you managed to create a chance or have a shot or play a pass or whatever. Is that something you've had to adjust to in senior football, knowing that you can't dribble by everybody when you were a young player? If we're honest, you were one of the best, if not the best, in your age group, and it was very easy for you against your own age, whereas now with men you might have to maybe pick and choose the moments to try the things that you would naturally do from being a kid. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, everybody's very clever now, you know what I mean? They're clever. As you get older, you're playing against clever players. I think they're more physical now, so obviously I won't be able to, you know, go past three or four. You know, you have to pick your time and you have to know when to do it. And I think Neil and Dara's been very good to me because they know what my game's about, and they let me create. Even if I do lose it, you know, they don't really give out to me. But obviously I have to be aware, like, I can't lose the ball in certain positions on the pitch because it could cost us the game. But yeah, I think obviously when I do get on the ball, it's important that I do create stuff and I do get at players, because if I don't have that, you know, I'm just going to be, I won't stand out, or I'm not going to help the team.
Dan, like, when you would have been a bit younger, and we know now, you know, lots of parents are more concerned for the safety of their kids as well. They don't just let them out on the street a lot anymore, and they don't just let them off for hours and not kind of sure where they are, and spoken about iPads and phones and Netflix and stuff as well. But for you, when you were growing up playing football or whatever, like, there wasn't a care in the world on you, and there was no danger of, you know, something's going to happen. It was just out in town, safe as houses, with your mates playing. You were always in the flats around, and your ma always knew, listen, he's with his mates, you know, someone else's parent is near them or watching them. And concerns now is that, you know, it's not as safe a place, which is probably, you know, not a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose you never really had to keep an eye on us because we were always in the flats playing football, and you'd have all the ma's and dads over the balconies anyway, watching us, keeping an eye on us or whatever. And we usually played with all the lads anyway, so they were old enough to look throw an eye on us, like, and look after us. But as you said, yeah, nowadays I suppose with social media and everything that did that, protection and all that stuff, and the way the world's going, it's a lot more difficult for these parents just to freely let their kids go out and play. But I think in the flats it's more safe than anything, especially with, you know, so many people being there, everyone knowing each other, it being like a community. And that was great for me to grow up in the flats. You know, I wouldn't have wanted to grow up anywhere else.
You're from the flats in Greek Street,
yeah.
So tell me about the games against the other flat complexes around, because Mark Quigley was saying last week, back when he was playing, there was absolute
carnage. Yeah, we used to go
carnage.
To Hardwick Street, because they had the Astro up there, so we'd often head up there, there'd be tournaments up there, or we'd head over to Alpha Bond, they had another Astro over there as well, so The games would be great, yeah, but we'd all know each other, and if we couldn't scrap up enough players from our flats, you know, we'd just head over and there'd be games going anyway. So, but that was the best thing about it, just being able to head over and have a game of football and knowing everyone's going to enjoy themselves, especially when you had the time off for summer.
When did you realise, Dan, that you were really good at football and that you were going to go away, that, you know, you were playing for Ireland, you were getting all these trials, and you probably knew, listen, I'm going to get an offer when I turn 16. When in your young career did you notice that, and did that make you more hungry to do it, or did it change your outlook on you know, playing football in the streets, club football and that sort of stuff?
No, like I was in the school yesterday, and the teacher was saying to me, look, I never missed a game, Gaelic football, I always tried to play whatever I could. I was trialling since I was quite young and stuff like that. I was back and forth. I never really said to myself, look, you're going to get offered a contract, but being at a lot of different clubs and stuff, I was sort of getting confident that that an offer would come, but I just had to keep performing and stuff like that. But I was always that never stopped me from doing anything, whether it was playing out in the flats or competing in school or still competing with Belville. Like, I always just wanted to play every game of football I could.
Sean, for you as well, you were quite similar to Dan in that, you know, at a young age you had a profile and people were coming to watch and people wanted you. Again, did you know very early that, you know, there was an opportunity to move away, you know, a few years before it actually happened?
Yeah, I probably thought at around under 12s that, you know, if I do keep going and if I do keep working hard and just enjoying it and, you know, keep doing what I'm doing on the pitch, that there could be a chance that I could go away. So, but I just enjoyed every game I could, you know what I mean? I'm just, you know, just played my best, worked hard, tried to be the best all the time. And I think, you know, I think it's obviously helped, you know, the DDSL stuff and all, like getting as much football as I can, you know, to just give me the best chance to go away. Because I knew, obviously, you know, I watch football all the time. It was in my head, it was just about football. So I did know that there was a chance of me, you know, moving away.
So what goes in then to your choice of club when you've gone on trial to so many, you've been to the Mill Cup, you've been to other competitions, every club is trying to sell you the dream of their club, and you have to choose in the end for you, Southampton?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to, like, if you go to a place, you have to enjoy it, you have to like it, you have to like the people that are there, the coaches, the facilities, it all comes into play, you know what I mean? So obviously I thought, you know, every facility in England's very good, everywhere you go the training grounds are, you know, top of the range, but it just came down to really where I liked, where I felt comfortable, where I felt confident, and I think Southampton fitted where I wanted to go.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say you could have gone anywhere you wanted, really. United, City, Chelsea, Arsenal, all of these clubs would have been in for you, and you didn't choose them. You chose a club in the Premier League, but not at the top end. Why was that?
I just thought, you know, Southampton, the way they go about stuff, the way they bring players through, they develop players, you know, they're always thinking about bringing young players into the first team, like there was more of a chance there. So if you go to a United or whatever, you know, you're just, there's a lot of players there in the same position as you, there's so much competition at Southampton, but I think there's more of a realistic chance of making it in the first team at Southampton.
So you start your contract and you're playing for the under-18s, and there's, you mentioned the number of players ahead of you at 23s and at first team as well, and then you probably realise very early in, God, I haven't actually made it here, when everyone in Ireland thinks you're now a footballer. You're seeing, you know, three or four midfielders in the 18s, in the 23s, and then the first team boys that you have to try and play better than and be picked ahead of.
Yeah, that's the difficult part. I think everybody would agree. When you're here, you know, you're like, you play every game, you don't have to worry about staying in the team. Like over there it's different, you know, you have a lot of competition, a lot of boys that are good players, and so you have to be on it every day, and you have to just work hard, and even if you have a good game, you have to be relentless, you have to be good the next game and the next game. If you want to progress, you know, that's what you have to do, you have to be consistent, and you know, it's like you can't rest on your laurels. So,
and for you, Dan, you signed for Wolves in July 15. You would have been a very regular Ireland player then. At 15s, you went on to play in all the camps at 16s, 17s, 19s as well. And you also had different options and lots of trials and opportunities away. What went into your process of one, choosing to go away, and two, picking Wolves?
I just tried not to go to a club more than three times, and it came to a stage where I had been back and forth, you know, to different clubs so much that I just felt like I had to sit down and just pick three clubs where I felt most comfortable and where I enjoyed the most. Wolves was number one for me. It was top of the list, and like they wanted me just as much as I wanted to go there. So they were like mid-table in the championship at the time. So my thought process was the same as Sean's. Like, it was the best place for me to progress through into the first team. Like, the competition was good there, but the opportunity to progress to the first team was a lot bigger than the other two options. But suppose the quality that they have now, and the new owners and the managers come in, and the way they're playing now, like they're seventh in the Premier League, you know, for a reason. The quality it's shown all the way through to the academy. So the standard and the quality of players there has really improved. Like, so it was difficult when I went back over there from Bray to break into the team, and I sort of knew then if I wasn't playing 23s, I had to get out and do something. So I came back to Shelbourne, yeah, but that was my thought process for it.
And weirdly, you said there about, you know, the manager and the quality of players. Now, I was talking to my uncle yesterday, and we were trying to work out, if City are thrown out of the Champions League and a Champions League place goes to fifth, and Chelsea or Arsenal win the Europa League, which they will, does that mean Wolves in the seventh in the Premier League might actually make Europe, which would have been... It's an interesting question.
Are they not going into Europa League?
I don't know if they are anyway. Seventh, I think.
I think if City win the FA Cup, they go into the Europa League. I think, I remember reading.
Or if Arsenal or Chelsea win the Europa League. So they could be in Europe anyway.
Yeah,
okay. So you're 16 and or 15 probably, and the contract offer comes. What considerations are you making education-wise, or are you making any at all?
My ma, she came to the clubs with me, and obviously we didn't know much about contracts and that stuff, so I had Shane Supple with me for that to look after me, and he was great help from my time being over in England. But she obviously wanted, she was rattling on about the education stuff, and they have a good two-year, I'm sure most clubs have it, they do a two-year education programme. I'm back now looking to go to college now in September, and the stuff I've done I think has stood to me, so I would advise anyone going over to always keep that in their head, because I'm back now looking to go to college and wishing I'd done a bit more over there, but I think what I've done over there will stand to me to get into college, like. So but that was my man's process on the education. I was just thinking, you know, I want to play first team football. That's what everyone thinks when they want to go over. Like, you know, you haven't made it as soon as you move over. Although everyone might think you have. Like, you know yourself, the competition is fierce and the quality is amazing over there. So you just want to work hard every day and give yourself the best opportunity to play first team.
Sean, for you, what year were you in school when you signed your Southampton contract? And again, did you have thoughts of leaving certs and education and that sort of stuff and staying through that, or was it just offers there, I want to go?
When I got offered off Southampton, I was going into my third year.
Junior cert, yeah?
Yeah, junior cert. So I had to, you know, obviously focus on that. And I knew that once I signed that contract that there wouldn't be as much education to do. I wouldn't be doing my leaving cert. So that was a thought process in my head for me and my mum when we went over. And we had a chat to them, and obviously we did the two-year programme like that. Dan would have done at Wolves. So that was, you know, obviously it's not the best thing that you can do. So I have to think about next year. Like, I have a lot of spare time as a 23, as Dan would obviously know. So I have to go, and I had a chat with them last time I was over, and I want to go and do something next year, hopefully in a college, to, you know, because obviously football is what you want to do. That's why you go over there, but it might not work out. So you have to keep thinking about the future and think realistic.
So you both spoke about the two-year education over there. I've not done it. Most people listening or watching probably haven't done it or seen it. What is it? How often do you do it a week, and what actually is involved in it?
Well, basically, over where I am, we do it on a Monday and a Thursday. So we do it for a few hours on a Monday and a few hours on a Thursday. And it's basically just it's a BTEC course. And you do like stuff like sports injury, sports management. It's all around, you know, sports and around that area. So, you know, it's like, for me, I probably want to do something else, but it's a good start because it gives you the equivalent of 2A levels. So it's good.
So you're going back now in July, and you, we were just talking off air upstairs before you came down that you're looking at doing a college course or doing something, not just to give yourself an extra qualification, but also to actually fill your time. Tell me more about that and what you might want to do.
Well, last time I was over, I was talking to the head of education about it, and I'm not quite sure what I want to do yet, but I'm going to start looking into it. I've started looking into it already, so hopefully come July I'll have something there to do to fill my time after training, you know, something to work on, something to work towards, not just, and obviously, you know, it'll help me because I won't have to think about football all the time. There's something else that I can do to, you know, help me as a person.
So Dan, you're at the other end now, you're trying to go to college in September and you have those qualifications, but you were doing them as a 16, 17 year old, still thinking I'm going to be a footballer for the next kind of 15 or 20 years. So you're now in a position of trying to see, you know, where the qualifications sit in the education system here, mm-hmm. CAO, and trying to actually get into college, which is something that you really want to do.
Yeah, and obviously when you do them, you just think, get me out of this room. You know, we'd done them at training ground, like it was a full day on a Wednesday and then after training on a Friday. But you're not thinking, right, this is going to help me get into college. You're just thinking, I want to go home and do whatever. Like, but even last year when I was back on loan at Bray, and when I was still over at Wolves, I always said I wanted to do like a psychology or a sports psychology course, and I just kept on putting it back and back. And looking back now, I wish I had started like an online course or whatever. I should have put more effort into it. So I think Sean should kick on with his education again this year. But yeah, I think I've been looking and filled out my CAO and stuff like that. So I think what we've done is QQI level 5. So it's the equivalent of a leaving cert. So hopefully, you know, it will benefit me and I'll have enough points to get into college. I'm doing a diploma at the moment in DBS on social science. So that's been really good. Like, I just wanted to come back in February and get straight into education, you know, refresh my brain and stuff like that. So that's been enjoyable.
Yeah, and we hear all the time and we speak often about, you know, how poor the education might be and the homesickness and being away from family and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of the actual football and the full-time nature of that and the quality of the training grounds and the pitches and you're playing in a lot of the stadiums and stuff, what was that experience like for 3.5-4 years where you're like a full-time pro at a really good club?
Yeah, it was great, yeah, of course. When you first move over, you're baffled by everything around you. But it just becomes, you know, second nature then to you. You're in every day, so you're used to everything. You see, obviously, these players that people see on the telly and, you know, you eat with them. You would say hello to them and stuff like that. So it just becomes second nature to you. But it was a great experience being over there, of course. Didn't work out, but back to start again and you know, see where that takes me.
And for you, Sean, too, you're going back to that now, back to the mornings, back full time in another pre-season. How have you found that first 18 months? Because you've been back for a little bit and going from like a schoolboy footballer here to full time in terms of load, and you're adding in gym work and you're eating at the training ground, so you're eating a lot better, and you're overall going from being a kid playing football in Dublin a couple of times a week to like a full time pro.
Yeah, it's obviously a bit, it's strange at the start that you're a full time footballer, you're in 5 to 6 days a week. But you just have to, you know, you have to get used to it. It took me a while to get used to, you know, full time training. Like, sometimes you'd be tired from a session here on a Monday, and you know, over there you don't really have time to recover. You're in the next day. You have to train hard the next day. So you obviously have to get used to that. You know, obviously the gym starts coming in as well, because you know, you're obviously a bit young to go to the gym when you're 15, 16 in Ireland. But once you go over there, you start getting a gym program and you start, you know, trying to get stronger, trying to obviously benefit your game, get physically stronger and improve yourself. But look, over there, like, the facilities are brilliant. Like, you have everything around you to be the best footballer that you can be. So you just have to, like, use it.
And how involved would you have ever been with the first team, like, in terms of maybe the odd session with them, seeing them around the place, seeing the manager? I know since you've been there, Southampton have changed manager, I think, and people like Shane Long and, in your case, Dan, Matt Doherty's at Wolves, and, you know, Irish people around, you know, at the senior level to maybe have a chat with you and say hello to you, like...
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, it's obviously good to have Irish boys around. Like, I have a few older Irish boys in the 23s, like Aaron O'Driscoll, Tom O'Connor. Like, they help me settle in a lot. And obviously, like, I've talked to Shane Long a few times, you know. They're all great. Like, they'll help you when you can. So I think it's good to have them around there just as a someone to chat to, you know what I mean? So.
And have you trained with the first team at all, or?
When I was, not really, a few times, you know what I mean? You know, just with the squad, the under-18 squad, if you played a game against them or whatever, but yeah, not much.
And Dan, for you, like at Wolves, towards the end of your time, and we mentioned you had a loan at Telford and you were back at Bray for a little bit in the 2017 League of Ireland season?
Yeah, the January
the
last
first,
year.
Yeah, exact yeah. same period as Sean, and he went back.
Yeah.
So you're coming to the end of your contract, and you know, how do those discussions go when they tell you or you tell them, you know, we don't want you or I want to leave?
I got on well with all the coaches there, and as soon as I went back over to start pre-season, we went to Netherlands, and I got an extra week off than the lads. Well, I didn't get an extra week off, they got a few weeks off, and I got 1 week off because the Irish season didn't finish till near the start of pre-season over there. So I got the week off, I went over, we headed straight to Netherlands, got back to the UK, and then I saw, you know, after a few weeks of pre-season that I wasn't going to get in, like the lads they had there playing pre-season games, and I wasn't getting much game time. And since I went back, and to right the way up till I left, you know, I probably count the number of games I had on my hand, like on one hand. So just to come back and be able to play all the time is really good. But I got on well with all the coaches, and I suppose once you have in your head, you know, right, this is it, you know, once you get in and be professional every day, then you know they can't say much to you, and they'll be good to you, know.
Is it a hit to your, like, yourself personally and you know, your pride, given, apart from your own dream of being in England, having to stop maybe all, you know, forever or maybe on a temporary basis, but also like everybody who knows you and even doesn't know your Instagram, and everything you put up on Instagram is thousands of likes, and you know, all you guys will be Instagram famous, and that kind of life in England is you know, now moving to here as such?
No, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, as I said, you know, I'm just happy to be back around my family and friends. It was great over there. The time I had over there was really good, but you know, none of that stuff really bothers me. Not playing football, I suppose, knocked the confidence a bit, but like, it's nothing to do with, you know, pride and stuff like that. The quality over there is unbelievable, so to come back and even play in this league where the standard is only improving, you know I'll take that, you know.
Yeah, and you've gone from training full time in the mornings, and we spoke about that in England and how much of a help that was, to in the evenings with Shells, and I know Shells are in three nights a week plus your game plus a recovery on a Saturday, so you're still in 5 days. How have you found that, and adapting to evening training as opposed to morning training? And you've spoken about college, but now trying to find stuff to do in the daytime as opposed to getting home from training at 12 o'clock in England and having nothing to do for the whole day, it's kind of flipped on its head a bit.
Yeah, I found it really difficult when I came back to Bray, not knowing what to do with my time, friends in college, parents and work and stuff like that. So that I found that difficult, but now, you know, driving especially has helped, so I can pop into town, living out in Finglas now, so I can just pop in, see my nanny, see my granddad in town, you know, pick up my sister from school, just doing stuff like that to keep me busy. I'm not working at the moment or anything, but training in the evenings, because, you know, being back last year, I think I'm used to it now, training with Michelle's, but yeah, like last year I found it difficult, but this year not as much, and I think I'm using my time a bit more wisely this time.
And have you had to try and like increase your own stuff away from Shells because it's less contact time with the ball as it maybe would have been in the UK, or is it something that you've thought about?
The stuff that we do there is really good. The sessions are planned out, you know, load wise and stuff like that. You do your own bits away from the club as well, obviously not being full time in every day. And if we miss a gym session, you know, the onus is on us to go to the gym and get our own session in. So, you know, the staff trust us to go and do that, and, you know, it'll ultimately show in our performances on Friday anyway.
And you're trying to go now to third level education in college and stuff, so that's a plan for 3 or 4 years to be here to play in the league and to get, you know, some proper education under your belt, and then if something comes up when you're 22 or 23, at least you can look at it older as an adult and... Yeah. You know, having something really in your pocket.
Yeah, not just saying it because I've come back and it didn't work out for me, but looking back, I probably would have waited and, you know, got a few years in the league if I could behind me, get the leaving cert behind me, and then head over. Like, I think there's some good young lads in the league now, I think, that are looking to head away, and they've got their college or their leaving cert behind them, so that'll benefit them. But being back now and trying to get into college, like, it's just something I want to do. I want to get a degree, whether that be, you know, in here, over in Ireland or in the UK or whatever it may be. Like, I just want to get a degree and get that behind me before I do anything.
And a big few weeks before the summer break in the League of Ireland, and Shell's trying to continue to push up the table and win that league at the end of October when that season finishes is the aim, I'm sure, for the short term.
Yeah, that's everyone's expectation. That's everyone's goal, is to win the league. Like, we know we've had a slow start, but I think we're getting a bit of luck now, the rubber of the green, you know, for probably not performing. Like, we didn't perform our best against that loan, but we got the 2-1 win, whereas at the start of the season, that wouldn't have happened for us. We would have played better and lost. So, I think now everyone's looking just to kick on now and push for that first position, battle against Cabin Teely, Longford and whoever's behind us.
Have you played each other this season, actually against each other?
No, we were jogging up and down the sideline beside each other talking.
Both on the bench?
Both on the bench.
Interesting, because I was going to ask, because you grew up, Dan's a year, 2 years older, 99, 2001, so you would have known each other at Belvo and your parents would know each other too, but you never got to, haven't got to play, did you play each other in England or ever play each other?
No, probably at Belvo if we...
I used to train with
us. Yeah, I used to train with us, like, but I think we're playing in the next few weeks, so if we're both in the squad, then that'll be our first time against each other.
So what conversations were had at the sideline, the manager, why you should be picking us?
No, I see we were losing that game, so I wasn't too pleased, but yeah.
Sean, how have you found your time at Longford overall? And I kind of half asked you at the start, but when it was announced that you'd signed there on loan, people were surprised, or surprised myself. How have you found it, and why Longford? Was that a decision by you and your dad? Were the club saying to come back? And again, you've mentioned it about how much you've enjoyed it, so it feels like the right decision, but why did you pick them when you were making that decision?
Yeah, obviously I heard, like, Longford played really good football in that league. Like, they try and get it down and they try and play. It's a good club to be at. There was an opportunity there for me to get game time as well. So I think between me and my dad, we thought it was the best option to go there. But obviously Southampton thought it was a good option to go there. You know, they thought it'd be good for me to go out and get senior football to learn and, you know, to come back with more experience come July.
And is there a chance that loan might be extended, or will you definitely be heading back in July?
Yeah, I'll definitely be heading back in July, because they want me to go back, you know, for pre-season and, you know, start strong and see where it goes from then. So hopefully I go back, you know, and hit the ground running again.
So you're 2-0 for under-18s now, so you're going into under-23s and into a pre-season there to try and, as you mentioned, hit the ground running and either play with the 23s there or maybe possibly alone in the UK to get similar kind of men's experience.
Yeah, well, obviously I want to go back and try and get game time there, and if that, I'll stay there, you know, and work and just try and get better. But obviously if a loan comes up again, that's right for me. I'll probably go, you know, I'll probably go and get more experience, because, you know, as Dano said, you know, it's good to get out and loan, you know, and get that experience in. Like, so I think it would be good to go get a loan, even if it's not in before the transfer window in summer ends. It could be in January again. So
yeah, because the seasons, of course, in England are a little bit different to Ireland and that sort of stuff too. Lads, lastly, what advice would you give yourself 2 years ago when you were moving away? If you could, because you've been through 2 years now, nearly, or 18 months. What would you kind of say to yourself? You know, has it been what you expected it to be? And how, you know, having had to deal with it all, would you have tried to prepare differently or get different advice or speak to people? Or
I'd probably, you know, go over there and, you know, do what you can do. You know, everybody else is different. Everybody's different to you. You know, just try and go over and do what you did in Ireland. You know, be confident. Don't let your confidence drop. Even if you're not getting in or it's not going well, just keep the head high. Keep going. Keep trying to improve and just learn and listen.
And for you, Dan, like, I've been at all the Ireland 17s games in the last week in the Euros, and I think like 16 of that squad are away. Some of them are English born lads who've never been here and are still at home. Others are in their first year, a couple at Southampton, including Seamus Keogh, the captain, just coming to the end of his first year, and they're kind of where you were two or three years ago, what would you kind of say to them where they're year in, they've experienced everything you've experienced and they've a little bit left in their contract and they're still trying to go and do their stuff?
Just use your time. I'd use my time more wisely. I don't think I'd done that enough when I was over there. And just take every bit of advice on you can from each different coach or each different player, you know. The time you have over there is going to benefit you as a player. So I would have just used my time a bit more wisely.
Dan McKenna, Sean Brennan, thanks a million for coming in.
Cheers, Sean.
Cheers.
Yeah, the fixtures this weekend in the First Division, finally in our First Division focus set for this week. It's Athlone against Bray at 7:45 on Friday. The other two games, Galway and Longford and Wexford against Shell. So Dano's Shell's heading down to Wexford. And two games on Saturday. I'm going to be at Capitide against Drogheda. That's at 7 o'clock in Stradbroke. Hopefully the pitch is better because it has been horrendous. And Cove against Limerick is also Saturday. That is a 7 o'clock kickoff. And the results for the weekend just gone. We mentioned the two games the lads were involved in. Capitide beat Longford 1-0. On Saturday, the other three games on Friday, Shells, a 2-1 win over Athlone at Talca. Drogheda 3, Limerick 2 was a bit of a thriller in that league, in that game, should I say, and Wexford 2, Cove 2 was the other result in the First Division at the weekend.
Off the Balls League of Ireland podcast, brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.